Welcome back to another episode of Your Pocket Nurse, a podcast for student and graduate nurses. I would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people as the original owners of the land that I am recording on. I pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Hello everyone, and welcome back to episode 2. Today's episode will be all about my graduate year so far, and also a little debrief about life at the moment, I suppose. So I just want to start off by thanking everyone for the really nice messages and the support that I received regarding episode 1. It honestly made me feel a lot better about everything because, yeah, I'm still obviously new to the podcasting world, so I wasn't really sure how it would go. But yeah, I'm glad that you all enjoyed it, and I hope that you continue to enjoy future episodes. So before I get started, I just wanted to sort of touch on like a little debrief on life at the moment. So I've had a few days off, which has been really, really nice. I think once I have too many days off, I'm like, oh, do I really want to go back to work again? It's just a lot at work at the moment, wearing like the N95s and the shields, and just, you know, seeing, you know, wards being turned into COVID wards, and you're like, oh, are we next? And everything. So it is obviously a lot. So I do value my days off a lot as well. In saying that, you know, when I do go to work, I make sure I take all the extra precautions to sort of ease any anxiety that I have regarding work. But it obviously doesn't make anything easier because I'm still always kind of on alert. Probably 2 weeks ago, I was like really stressed about work. I was like struggling to sleep. I just had like a breakout. I had ulcers in my mouth. Like, that is when I know that my body is run down and super stressed. So I just tried to take it back, and I had a really good debrief with one of the nurses on the ward, and you know, she sort of validated my feelings and told me that like what I'm feeling is totally normal, and she feels the same, and you know, she's been through it, and she worked even in ICU last year, you know, caring for COVID patients. So she said that it's super normal to feel like this, and you know, it is a scary time. You sort of don't know what to expect and everything. But, you know, she made me feel like I'm not alone and that I should just reach out for help and support whenever I needed it. So I definitely will be doing that. But yeah, I suppose otherwise I'm going well. I've got an interview tomorrow, so I've been practicing for that. Just sort of thinking about what sort of questions I get might ask. And yeah, I suppose it's hard to sort of prepare for interviews, but I think just reflecting back on patient experiences and things like that, you know, it might help you sort of trigger a scenario to use in the interview. So that's always helpful. So I've just been doing that. So I'll let you know how that goes, but hopefully it'll go well. I'm just a bit nervous because I don't really know how many people applied or how many positions are available and things like that. So it's sort of like, who knows? But I'm sure it'll be fine. And yeah, and then I start nights on Friday night. Not really looking forward to it, to be honest. We have 8 patients overnight on the cardiology ward because it is considered medical. So that will probably be quite exhausting. And, you know, it just depends. Like, you know, all it takes is like for 1 or 2 patients to be like deteriorated, and then your whole shift goes out the window. So anyway, having positive vibes, bring some snacks, and I think I'm working with one of my friends, so that should be fun. So fingers crossed, I'll keep you updated. But let's get started into the episode and talk about my grad year. So I started my grad year in January. This was one of the very first intakes. So I started my grad year before many of my other friends did. I had lots of friends start in February. And then obviously I've even got friends that started in July. So it was a bit nerve-wracking kind of being like the first one to venture into my grad year. But I suppose that, you know, it was really good and it went so fast. I remember the first week was so, so overwhelming. It was just like information overload, and I like had the worst headache constantly because like it was all over Zoom and my head hurt so much because they were saying all these things and I was trying to like write everything down. And then on supernumerary, I was also so stressed. I had 3 supernumerary shifts
and that was on three of my different wards. So I only had three supernumerary shifts out of the five wards that I was working on when I was on pool. So that made it a little bit scarier because I was like, I have to go to two of these wards without supernumerary. But anyway, we survived. So yeah, that was sort of the first week. I was like so scared and cried, and it was very emotional. So just look after yourself in that first, you know, month even. It's, you know, it's a very, very new thing. It's very different from being a student nurse, you know, with a buddy with you that's helping you do everything, to then being the solo nurse and you're responsible for those four patients. You don't necessarily have someone else to fall back on and say, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, you're obviously always asking questions, but you are the sole nurse. So yeah, it's a lot. So as you may know, my first rotation was pool. So I worked on five different wards. So this included cardiothoracics, renal, endocrinology, and diabetic foot ulcer, gastroenterology, orthopedics, urology, vascular, breast oncology, and then rehabilitation. So I get many questions about pool. So what pool is means you're employed by the hospital, but and you have rostered days and shift times. So essentially, you know, I knew that I was working Monday a.m., Tuesday a.m., Wednesday off, Thursday p.m., Friday p.m. But I just didn't know necessarily which wards I was working on. So sometimes I found out like maybe a week in advance, sometimes, you know, 2 to 3 days before, because the ward already knew that they needed a staff member for that day. Sometimes if there weren't many vacancies, you sometimes found out like an hour before your shift started. And they could easily change where you're working, like, you know, up to like 15 minutes before your shift. They'll obviously call you to let you know. But yeah, so there's not a lot of stability in pool. You have to be very flexible and ready to go to any ward, and you don't really know. Sometimes you're even allocated to a specific ward and then you get changed last minute. That happened to me a few times and it was so annoying. I was really excited to work on one of the wards, and it was my very last pool shift, and my friend was working and I was so keen, and then they changed me and I actually cried because I was like, I wasn't mentally prepared to work on this ward. I was thinking I was going to be working on another ward with my friend and I was super excited for it. But yeah, so obviously if someone calls in sick on a ward, they need to fill the shift, so they obviously rely on pool staff members. But sometimes wards don't actually have enough staff to fill all the shifts, so they do rely on pool staff to fill day-to-day shifts without even sick leaves, etc. So overall, it's a really good experience to find out what different wards are like and to find out what ward you enjoy, because as I learned, every ward is very different, like in regards to patient presentations, skills, team dynamics is a big thing. You learn where you fit in and where you don't necessarily, and what wards you actually want to work on. So pool was a great way to sort of like tick and cross off wards that I wasn't interested in, like pursuing in the future. So the first ward, cardiothoracics, the most common patients were CAGS patients, whether it be elective or inpatient, like if they come in with chest pain and then they have an angiogram and then they have triple vessel disease, most likely they'll end up having CAGS, which is like open heart surgery. It's really cool. Or, you know, patients coming in with pleural effusions or pneumothoraxes, etc. To be honest, when I worked on this ward, I often cared for the trauma patients and sometimes medical or cardiology patients. So I don't actually have a lot of experience with cardiothoracic patients, but overall it was pretty interesting. The ward was very supportive, great staff members and very knowledgeable. They have an HGU section, which is where the nurses all have a grad certificate in cardiothoracics critical care. So they're obviously so knowledgeable, and that's where all the sick patients go. So that was interesting. I would maybe want to work in that area in the future because it's surgical and yeah, it seems really interesting. So common like sort of skills or things I was doing was like analgesia. Sometimes patients had PCAs and ICCs, otherwise it was just sort of same. And then I had the renal, endocrinology and diabetic foot ulcer ward, which was super interesting and very specialized. Obviously every ward is very specialized, but this one was just like, wow. So I only worked on this ward for maybe 4 or 5 times in total. So when I did go there, I felt like I was starting fresh again. Like I didn't really know what was going on. So this ward does kidney transplants, which is awesome. Also patients, if they've had a kidney transplant in the past and they come in for some like various reason, they often get sent to that ward because their primary doctors will be the nephrology doctors just because they've had that kidney transplant in the past, even if they've come in something completely different to do with the kidneys. We've also got patients coming in with newly diagnosed kidney disease and they may be requiring dialysis, uncontrolled diabetes and also diabetic wounds. So the skills obviously involved were strict fluids balance charts, wound dressings, VAC dressings, IV antis, new diabetes regimes. So the BGLs were crazy. Like sometimes they had them in like the 20s, and I was like, is this normal? And the nurse is like, yeah, that's fine, just page the doctor, but it's fine. And I was like, no, I don't really think it is fine. But they all had crazy sugar levels there. And then we obviously had post-op patients too. We sometimes had patients that had amputations, whether it like be below or above a knee, sometimes even like some toes and things like that, because of poor wound healing secondary to the diabetes. Also patients were having fistulas created, which was really interesting, and also this thing called permacaths. They both can help for the patient to have dialysis, so that was really interesting. Then we had the gastroenterology and orthopedic ward. So these two patient cohorts were very different to each other. So the gastro patients were often quite young. They came in with liver cirrhosis, ascites, gastroparesis, Crohn's disease, paracetamol overdoses, and things like that. Whereas the orthopedic patients were mostly elderly people, and they came in with neck or femur fractures. NOFs, which were so common. Sometimes the ward was just full of NOFs and it was so heavy. So with the gastro patients, there was lots of electrolyte replacement, whether it be oral or IV, very close monitoring of blood and albumin transfusions, acidic taps, and they often had sometimes nasogastric tubes or received TPN and things like that. So I did like a couple of PIC dressing changes, which is really interesting, trying to keep that aseptic non-touch area all sterile. And then with the, ortho patients, it was mainly like pain relief, pre and post-op care, neurovascular OBS and ADL assistance, as well as delirium management, because a lot of elderly people have post-op delirium and it's kind of scary, to be honest, because you meet them beforehand and they're so lovely and then they come out so scary sometimes, to be honest. I dreaded that. And then we had the urology, vascular and breast oncology ward, which included like continuous bladder washouts, nephrostomy or urostomies inserted. What else? Fempop bypasses, above and below knee amputations, mastectomies, as well as so much more. They do really cool surgeries there. And skills included like IV antibiotics, PCA management, pre and post-op care, neurovascular OBS, analgesia, and yeah, a lot. So that was really, really good. That's the ward that I'm actually applying for. I'd really like to explore that area more. I really enjoy surgical nursing. And also on that ward, they often get plastics or trauma overflow, which I love. It's like the right amount of trauma and plastics. I don't know if I could do it like full on, but that was really good. And then rehab, we had patients coming in post-stroke, orthopedic surgery, amputations, but also we had GEM overflow, which meant that patients were coming in with like functional decline and things like that. So that often was quite heavy. So the patients, and they also had complex discharge planning. So the skills involved was a lot of ADLs and also trying to promote that independence with their mobility so that they can go home, you know, independently. And occasionally we had some IV antis, IDC management, wound dressings, and a few times I had palliative patients there. So I did some subcut butterflies to administer medications to promote comfort and things like that. So I've obviously missed out on a lot of things in that little brief recap, but I think that sort of summarizes my experience on pool and sort of the patient presentations and skills I did. Overall, it was a very, very valuable and incredible experience. I learned so much than I expected I would. I think having pool as my first rotation allowed me to become really resilient and adaptable. It's definitely not easy. And as I said before, I had to learn, you know, 5 different wards essentially. Like, you know, think about everyone's names. I had to learn the ward routine. You know, some of the wards do different obs at different times, and you know, some do fluid balance charts for everyone, and you know, it was all different, and like, you know, the number codes to get into break rooms and toilets. I had to have a little note section on my phone so I could remember these. And then every medication room had a different layout, so I was like fluffing about finding like medications and things like that. But yeah, you know, it was hard, but it was really good. Like, nursing is same, same, but different. Like, you're obviously doing your obs, meds, patient care, and what other random stuff pop up in the day. But everywhere is different because they all have their own little specialty. So, yeah, it was really good. I'm glad I, you know, got this rotation, even though I originally didn't want it. It was, like, I think, like, my bottom, like, third bottom one. But yeah, now I'm so glad I got it because I got to experience 5 different wards instead of like one, because we do 2 6-month rotations. So that's only 2 wards. And at the end of my graduate, I would have experienced 6 different wards, which is amazing because, yeah, as I said, I've been able to tick and cross off wards that I like and don't like. So cardiology has been really good. This is my second grad rotation. It may not be where I want to stay forever. I'm not sure. I do enjoy it. It's very interesting, but I don't know. I just don't think it's for me as such. So last episode, I touched on some of the patient presentations. So we've got STEMIs, non-STEMIs, patients coming in with angina, heart failure, atrial fibrillation, atrial flutter, other arrhythmias, syncope for investigation, and then we have procedures, both elective and inpatient, angiograms, angioplasties, TAVIs, AV ablation, toe DCRs, pacemakers inserted or removed. It's a lot. There's a lot going on the ward, so it's really good. And on the skills that we sort of do on there, so because we're on a cardiac ward, most of our patients are cardiac monitored. So we've sort of got a rule that if they're cardiac monitored, they need an IVC in situ in case there's some sort of emergency requiring IV intervention. So it's very handy now that I have my IVC competency complete, because we obviously have to change them every 72 hours. So that's a big skill. We also have to do daily ECGs in the morning, which is usually done before the doctor's round. So this has allowed me to really practice interpreting ECGs because I do find them difficult. I remember when I started my account and lots of people were like asking me to like do ECG posts, and I was like, sorry, but I literally don't even understand them myself. But now I am getting the basics, and you know, that's why I'm posting more about ECGs and things like that. But you know, it takes years of practice to really know what's going on. So we also do lots of electrolyte replacement because we like magnesium to be above 1 and potassium to be above 4, because this allows efficient cardiac functioning. So I'm always checking blood results, also checking troponin levels, because it's really important to make sure that all the bloods are okay. And yeah, I think it's a really good practice to get into checking bloods, because often, you know, if we check the bloods, we're able to then alert the doctors whether we need to do anything. So that's really good. So that's my big tip. Always check blood results, because we're obviously checking them for a reason. So, you know, we need to investigate further. Other skills include pre and post-op care as well, neurovascular obs, close monitoring of sites for bleeding, TR bands, femstops, sheath monitoring, and also being involved when the doctors remove them. So yeah, I enjoy it. I'll keep pursuing it. I think I'm about 2 months in, maybe more. I can't remember. I really lose count, to be honest. Yeah, I think I'm nearly 2 months in, but yeah, it's been really good. And I know that ECGs will be really helpful regardless of where I go next, because, you know, patients can have chest pain anytime, and being able to read and interpret an ECG is awesome. So as I mentioned, like at the beginning of my grad year, I was like super stressed and everything. So I thought I'd sort of go through ways that I coped with that. So I think it's very important to debrief with fellow grads. I found that they're the best people to debrief with. Like make a group chat with the other grads, and if you have a hard shift, just have a chat with them, because at the end of the day, no one is really going to understand what you're going through except for you and people that are in a similar situation. So grads understand the struggles, they know what you're going through, and unfortunately, like your friends, your family, partners, etc., they probably won't understand what they're going through, what you're going through, unless they're, you know, a nurse or they're a shift worker or something. It's really difficult, to be honest. Also, reach out to your educators. My pool educators were so supportive. They would come and visit us every shift, and obviously it's hard, you know, constantly being on different wards and everything, but it was really good. So even last week I had a really busy shift, and even though I am a bit more experienced than I once was, you know, regardless of whether you're junior or senior, shifts get busy and hard. So you need to ask for help. I think that's the most important thing, is to recognize when you need help and ask for it early. If you know that something, like you can't do something because you're too busy, or like you need another cannula, but you don't have your IVC training, then ask like earlier, find out if someone else can do it for you. Just put those things in place to help you, because yeah, it's really hard. So in saying that, nursing is a team job. I'm sure everyone knows that. And yeah, you just want to support others around you. I think it's a really good habit and a great way to create a really positive ward culture is if you are finished with your tasks, go up to other people and see if they need help. You know, ask them if they need something done, because I think that's a really good way to sort of, you know, build a really positive ward. That's a really big thing for me. I notice wards that aren't as helpful as others, and that really impacts staff. Like I think to myself, I don't really want to work there because, you know, people aren't really willing to help each other, which is the reality. Unfortunately, not everyone is as helpful as you think they may be. And, you know, that sucks, but you need to try and ask for it. If they're sitting around doing nothing, you know, or seem not busy, then say, you know, like, can you please help me, you know? And if not, then keep finding someone, because someone has to be able to help you. Like, it's not practical to do everything on your own if you're struggling. So I've now sort of found my routine at work, you know, with all my shift planning and everything, and I'm better with prioritizing and time management. But I obviously have really stressful days at work still, as everyone does. So I find that it's very important to implement self-care. I've found that walking and doing Pilates or a workout are my favorite ways to move my body, and I love those endorphins that I get afterwards. So I definitely recommend moving your body somehow each day. I often go for walks with my friends or just listen to a podcast or music. Sometimes I don't listen to anything. I just, like, because I have a really beautiful park near my house, so I just walk through and just sort of listen to nature, which might sound a bit weird, but I think it's just sort of nice to just take it all in. What else? I obviously like reading and things like that, watching Netflix always. That's a great way to unwind. Skincare is also super important. I think it's even more important given that we're wearing surgical masks and N95s at work. It's a lot. So I find that I've worked out like a good skincare routine for me, and I'm hoping that I can, once we're out of lockdown, I can go and get a facial, because that's a really nice way to treat your skin. But yeah, I try and do my skincare routine at least every night, and then I usually do it in the morning on my days off, because like, who has time to do their skincare routine when you leave for work at like 5:50? Not me. I'd rather sleep. So yeah, I've just found that it's really important to prioritize my sleep. I always try and aim, you know, having 9 hours, which might not always seem possible, especially with a late early, but you know, if you're tired, your body's tired, just rest, don't try and push through. I've also learned to say no to things. You know, obviously we're in lockdown, so there's not much to do, but prior to lockdown, if you're tired, it's okay to say no and just be like, you know what, like, I can't go out tonight, work was really busy, I'm just gonna rest. You know, maybe you get FOMO, maybe it sounds a bit boring, but your mental health needs to come first. So I'm a big advocate for saying no if you're tired. Like, listen to your body. That's my big tip. Also, just remember that, as I said, shift work can be hard, and it can be difficult for your friends or family or partners to actually understand what it's like, especially if they work like 9 to 5. You know, our days are sort of backwards. So I think it's really important to have really good communication and tell people how you're feeling and be honest about it, because they probably don't know what you're feeling. And then what else? I thought I'd also touch on, you know, what my expectations were of my graduate. So far, I haven't had any really negative experiences. My graduate experience has been quite positive. I know this may not be for everyone. I've had really good rotations, and had really supportive educators and also fellow team members, although not every ward is super supportive, but overall I've had a really good time. It's definitely hard with COVID, especially you know, starting nursing. Like, I have some friends that are sort of second guessing whether they want to be a nurse and things like that, and I guess like they just say, like, I wonder if I would have felt like this if we weren't in the middle of a pandemic. You know, I think it really is taking a toll on everyone's mental health, especially healthcare workers and people that are working on COVID or SCOVID wards. It's hard, and you know, even being a student, it's so stressful. You're thinking like, am I going to finish my hours in time for registration, in time for my graduate to start? It's all a lot, and I just think, just take it one day at a time and sort of focus on those self-care things and look after your health, because you know, we come first. You know, I think it's a good way to remember, like, how we can't care for our patients if we're not caring for ourselves first. Might sound a bit corny, but it's true. So yeah, I hope that kind of gives you a little bit of insight into my grad year so far and sort of like where I'm at in terms of everything. Remember, everyone has a different experience and a different experience, even if they're on the same, working at the same hospital or even the same ward. Like, everyone's different. No two people love everything the same. So don't be disheartened if, you know, someone is really thriving in an area that you're struggling in, because as I said, everyone is different. So just find an area of nursing that you like, and remember, a graduate is just 12 months. After that, you can do whatever you want. And you can move hospitals, you can move to a different route, like a different ward, different specialty. The doors do not close because you're struggling in an area. You know, there's so many opportunities to change, and I think that's really important to remember. So thank you for listening to this episode. I hope it was kind of interesting. I didn't know exactly what I was going to talk about today, but I think it's been a good convo. Coming up, I've got my friend joining me, one about her transition from EN to RN, and then another who was an accountant first, and then later in life she decided she wanted to be a midwife. And then I met her at uni when she was studying nursing. So yes, lots of studying involved with her, but I think it's really interesting because, as I said, this podcast is all about finding out different people's journeys to becoming like a nurse or becoming whoever they are in the healthcare world. So stay tuned for those episodes, and yep, thank you. Bye.